from Texas Public Radio. This is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, the politics of beer, how Texas laws are holding back the microbrewery industry. I'm David Martin Davies, and we're recording this Texas Matters in front of a live audience with a panel. Yes. With a panel discussion to talk about the issues and the proposed legislation to fix this beer tyranny that we have in Texas. And so I need to thank our underwriters, first of all, for the special event and broadcast. We do have to thank Alamo Golden Ale, a San Antonio independent brewer since 2003. They are currently in the planning stages for a brewery near the Hayes Street Bridge on the east side of San Antonio. Also, Bicycle Heaven, a locally owned bicycle specialty shop located in Castle Hills, serving the San Antonio bicycling community since 2001. And finally, The Cove, a San Antonio institution with a restaurant, beer garden, live music venue, laundromat, and car wash, serving sustainable, organic, and local food. Now, we are recording this Texas Matters at the Herman Sons Lodge in downtown San Antonio, and it is quite the location. This is a historic spot, a great place where many beers have been consumed over the decades. And we are proud to be here. Now, let me introduce our distinguished panel of experts. First, we have Representative Mike Virial. He is a Democrat who represents actually this area here, District 123 in San Antonio, and he has led the fight in Austin to allow brew pubs in the state to operate as microbreweries, and he's been definitely at the tip of the spear trying to end beer tyranny in this state. Michael, thank you for being here.
Glad to be here, Dave.
Down the line, we have Scott Metzger. He's the owner of Free Tail Brewing. Metzger is involved with the Texas Craft Brewing Guild and a very vocal about his displeasure with the current beer laws in the Lone Star State. Scott. Next to him, we've got Tim Campion. He of GLI Distributing. He's been in the beer business for 34 years, working in the off-premise sector and with grocery operation, and then as an independent owner of an on-premise sector. We'll find out what that means later. And for the last 30 years, in the wholesale beer side of the business. So he's been on the other side of distributing beer, so he's going to have a lot of insight to why we have this situation that we have in Texas now. Tim, thank you for being here. And now, and finally, we have Travis Poling. He's the author of the book Beer Across Texas. He's a journalist and a blogger. He has covered the politics of beer, and he's covered beer inside and out. Travis. All right. It's been speculated that beer is the reason that the first human tribes stopped their nomadic wanderings and began to set up permanent settlements. They wanted to plant and cultivate those precious ingredients to brew beer even before that first loaf of bread was ever baked. These prehistoric partiers were homebrewing their suds. So the settlement's brewmaster was the community's wise man. He was the scientist, the teacher, the doctor, and he was the lawgiver. But now here we are in the modern ages in Texas, and the lawgivers and the local brewmasters are at odds. There are laws in place that hold back what could be a major industry in the state of Texas, creating thousands of jobs and improving the quality of life for the people here who want to have more and better beer in their lives. So here at this event, we've been told that we can have samples of microbrews here available for you to enjoy, but it is illegal for us to sell that microbrew. It is just the way the law is written. You can only give it away, and we can only give away no more than 24 ounces. And that's what we were told by the TABC. So you adults in the room can only have four, those little tiny things, 6 ounces servings of that free, delicious beer. You are right now feeling the yoke of these laws limiting your freedom to good beer. Now, how many of you guys think that needs to change? Okay. And that's what we're going to talk about. So let's get on with our panelists. We got Representative Virial. So what are these laws that are limiting microbreweries and micropubs throughout Texas? Mike.
Wow. Well, what are these laws? You know, what it comes down to is these laws are essentially a guarantee for some businesses to earn a profit, a secure, monopolized profit, without a lot of risk, without a lot of competition, and they don't want to change. And so what these laws are, and I've actually shared this with somebody who I consider a person who has credibility in my eyes, who I've dealt with on a lot of issues, but who represents the opponents of the reform movement on craft beer, on the craft beer industry. And I told them, you know, you may be winning now, and it may take more than two sessions to make change, to open up the craft beer market. But let me tell you, change is coming. It's inevitable. And the reason why is because today's laws, they don't fit with our core values in Texas. You go down the street and talk to any Texan, and you explain to them how difficult it is to have a small business person start a brew pub and get his product out. And they don't get it. They don't understand why they can't find their favorite craft beer at the grocery store. They certainly don't understand how a California brew pub has the right to sell to our distributors, but our Texas brew pubs cannot sell to our distributors. In the end, anything that stands in between a Texan and his favorite beer is not long for this world.
Scott Metzger of Freetail Brewing, how this structure that we have in Texas, how it involves your business, what can you do, what can't you do?
Yeah, the state basically restricts me from expanding my business outside of my own walls. Every single drop of beer we make has to be sold at the brewery or given away to fine folks like y'all at events like these. But you can't buy our beer anywhere else. One of the saddest things that I unfortunately say a lot is that I could literally sell more beer in Texas if I moved out of Texas, which is probably the most absurd thing I've heard anyone have to make, and hopefully no other businesses in the state have to make a similar comment. Because of Texas restrictions, we really lag the rest of the country in this developing and burgeoning segment of the beer industry, which is really the only growing segment of the beer industry. And, you know, frankly, I don't know a whole lot of areas where Texas likes to be last at, and hopefully we don't continue being last in this area.
Tim Campion of GLI Distributing, so you're in the business of distributing beer, and you work in that area of the marketplace, and you're sort of a heretic in among distributors because you actually were trying to move this legislation forward that would change the laws. So what other distributors, they're enjoying the profits of not having that. They like the artificial restrictions on the market. So first of all, why would you dare be this heretic in this industry, and what do your fellow distributors tell you?
Well, I don't think we're the only one there. It's a divided association for sure. There are some that that believe that the law shouldn't change and it's just antiquated, and they stick to their traditions, the laws that have been written years ago. Personally, and you talk about us as a distributor, or me personally, I believe in better beers. I believe that a rising tide helps float all ships, that the better the beer, as sooner or later people are going to sample other products. When they drink Scott's product, when they drink Eugene's product, when they drink Joey's product, they're going to eventually drink better beers in general. And we sell a lot of those beers too. So in general, that's good for everybody.
Now, Travis, you've written the book Beer Across Texas. You've drunk a lot of beer across Texas. It's a tough job. So as you're doing that, what is the state of beer in Texas? Are you encouraged that we're moving forward and with these microbrews popping up and people challenging this law? Do people realize that change is coming, or is it still under the radar?
I think it's still very much under the radar outside of people that care enough about these things to say, come out to an event like this. I mean, I see a lot of familiar faces here in the audience today, a lot of brewers, a lot of home brewers, a lot of people that I run into at brew pubs and brewery tours over and over and over again for years now. So, I mean, for them, it's incredibly important. But I think for the normal person, it doesn't really hit them until on a lark, maybe they go on a tour of a microbrewery and realize that they can't buy a pint like they can, say, at Freetail, because maybe they've done winery tours. And wineries, it took them 10 years, but they won the right from the legislature to actually sell some wine right there at the winery. And so they kind of broke down some of the three-tier system that Texas has there. Beer has been discriminated against in that sense, and I think people are surprised by that when they do find out. The issue really only comes up in a big way every 2 years, and then it just kind of gets pushed aside by much larger things, many of which, you know, Mike is involved in, like, I don't know, educating our children and, you know, things that maybe are a little bit more important than beer. I still think that Mike did not go with my idea 2 years ago, which is why his bill didn't pass, of buttons that said beer for the kids. I still think that would have worked. Education funding tied to beer. But I think that it is starting to come on board more and more. You start to have some grassroots groups like Open the Taps, which started in Houston but has a footprint just among beer lovers all across the state now in every city. They actually sent out simple polls to every single person that was running for office in Texas last time and was in office and asked them what they thought. They did not get a huge response because most people didn't want to talk about it. They say the income tax is a third rail in Texas politics, but beer is maybe a close third or fourth, you know, on that. Just depending on what committees you serve on. One thing, real quickly though, I'd like to say about the wholesalers. I mean, you talked earlier about a sort of a monopoly or a stranglehold that's regulated in for these distributors. But you do have to realize, though, that the distributors are in a very cutthroat business among each other, too, because there's a lot of competition for the taps. I mean, think about how many bars you drink in that have 10 taps of beer. And if, Tim's company has Sam Adams and you have Shiner beers, and it's a pretty easy sell, probably, to get in, say, Sam Adams Boston Lager and Shiner Bock, but say they want to get in a tap of Shiner FM 966, which is a great beer, and they go, well, I could put that on, but I'm either going to have to pull off, Dos Equis, or I'm going to have to pull off, which is very popular right now, very hot, or I'm going to have to pull off one of my three Bud Light taps, and they don't, it's hard to do. But, you know, there are the great thing is that one of the things that's happening is there are more and more bars across the state, including in San Antonio, in Austin, where you'd expect it, but just even in El Paso, which was kind of a wasteland of beer for a while, that have great taps and that are serving tons of Texas beers. There's several in San Antonio right now that serve almost nothing but Texas beers, and I think that's raising awareness a lot about the laws.
Tim, if I could just kind of follow up on what he's talking about, and I know Mike brought it up, and we talk about why do the laws exist the way they do and what's up with the three-tier system. It's all about making sure that there's not a dominant player out there. And to Travis's point, to open up the door, the key thing is you open up the door, how big do you open it? Because would you want to see where an Anheuser-Busch InBev could also own the wholesalership and could also own a retailer and would be selling their own products, to where you walked into a bar, it would be kind of like the fast food place you walk into and you say, I like a Coke, and they say, we don't have Coke, we have Pepsi, and they only serve one type. So if the three-tier system is destroyed, which is kind of the way it was put in place, was to keep the ultimate from the person from making from being the ultimate retailer also, that is the danger. Obviously, we're not talking about that. So we're talking about two different scopes of things, and that's the laws, I believe, that Mike and some of his cohorts are working on to kind of fix some of those situations. But there's still reasons for a three-tier system to be in place.
We're seeing this growing monopoly of the big brewers. You know, Anheuser-Busch is emerging, and so any beer that you buy that these other labels, I mean, it's all going from one corporate ownership. So having these microbreweries and brew pubs being able to sell directly to consumers at the store, it's this more local product, and it could spawn this huge industry in Texas. You know, beer tourism is pretty massive. And so, Scott, over at Freetail, I mean, do you have people who've read about your beer from other states? They've come to San Antonio and they want to go to your bar and drink your beer?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm really fortunate that my head brewer, Jason Davis, is a wizard or something, and makes some phenomenal beers that have gained not only local attention but statewide and national attention. So we have people all the time who, read about our beers on the internet, and you know, we're in town for a convention and paid the $45 cab ride from downtown to the outskirts of San Antonio to come visit us. Beer tourism is humongous, nationwide, and where we make the experience better for people visiting breweries, and where we make the business environment better for breweries to exist, that beer tourism is just going to continue to grow and flourish.
Now, I need to remind our listeners that this is Texas Matters, and this is a live recording of a panel discussion about the politics of beer and what's being done about Texas laws that hold back the local beer industry. Now, Representative Mike Villarreal, you've said that this could create thousands of jobs in the state of Texas. How would that work?
Sure. If you look at the market today, the folks that are employed primarily in this sector are employed at Texas breweries. And craft breweries make up, I want to say, 51% of the labor market in this sector. Even though they're a slice of a single-digit fraction of the total pie of beer that's sold. Maybe I shouldn't use the word pie and beer in the same sentence together. If you look at the market in terms of beer sold, craft beer is really just a very small percentage, single-digit. If you then look at, who's employed in this sector in the state of Texas, and are they employed in a microbrewery or a brew pub, or are they employed in one of the big breweries? And the truth is that a majority of the workers in Texas in this sector are working at places like Freetail or Blue Star or one of the other microbreweries. And so this is an area that is the only piece of the beer industry that is growing fast and that we can count on to produce jobs in the state of Texas. I want to go back to something that Tim tried to touch on, and that is the fact that what we're talking about here today is not wholesale change. We're not talking about sweeping away the regulatory framework that exists that separates wholesalers from distributors, from retailers. What we're talking about is evolving it to recognize that the most entrepreneurial minds in this area are in places like Freetail or Blue Star, where craftsmen are trying to, invent the newest code on a delicious brew. And we need to evolve our laws the way Oregon or Washington, Even Colorado and California have done to still have a three-tier separation, but allow for some flexibility so entrepreneurs can, in the state of Texas, create the next Sam Adams, but in Texas, produced by Texans, enjoyed by Texans. That's what we're talking about.
If I could follow up on what Mike's talking about, you know, we do make the Texas craft brewers, me and my brothers and sisters in the industry, make less than 1% of all the beer that's consumed in this state. But we are proudly inefficient when it comes to labor. We employ, and this is a statistic that holds true not just in Texas but nationwide, a craft brewery needs 28 employees to produce the same amount of beer as one Anheuser-Busch employee produces worldwide. So we are very labor efficient. If I worked for a big Fortune 500 company, we would have a big problem with our labor inefficiency. But we're proud of it. We create jobs, we put people to work, and we're happy that there is such an intensity of labor that goes into our products.
So what is the opposition? What is the argument that we shouldn't have more good beer? Or like, why can't I go to the store and buy good microbreweries?
The stated reason, and always in these fights, right, there's the good reason and then the real reason. And so the good reason, what the opponents, you know, sell is, well, this is a dangerous substance. This is intoxicating. We have to, you know, this is like radio, you know, active waste. We have to be very careful and make sure we separate the folks who are manufacturing it and have a very bright line from the people who distribute it and a very bright line from those that retail and sell it at a store. And so we can't possibly have any crossing. Now what's the real reason? Well, the real reason is market share. The distributors want to be able, and Tim, you should probably speak to this, but the distributors want to have a secure market where they dominate. And any change of the status quo is going to actually potentially cause some folks to lose their profit margin.
That's probably a general statement. That's correct. The distributors would, in general, would like every drop of beer to flow through them before it goes to the retail. But those are normally those that are short-sighted and don't appreciate where the industry is going, where it's headed, the evolution that you speak of, because it's there, it's coming. And to Scott's point, and really to everybody in here, you know, it's 1-2% of the beer. It's going to continue to grow, but it's still a small part. The way I kind of look at it is, as these breweries grow at some point, and instead of making 300 accounts servicing in the San Antonio area, and they want to service all 3,000, it's very inefficient for them to do it on their own. You can't. To grow it and to start it, if I was in their shoes, I would do the exact same thing. I would try to go sell out of a van and one case and one keg at a time. And then at some point, though, they might decide they need a distributor from an efficiency standpoint, not because they have to, but because they want to. And that's what I believe that distributors at that point, the best ones will win, and those that aren't, so be it.
Let me describe House Bill 1763. This is the Brew Pub Bill, 660 from last session that I carried. This session, I'm honored to have Wayne Smith as the main author of this legislation. He is the new chairman of the licensing committee, a sign that change is in the air when the chairman of licensing is the main author of the legislation. So this bill proposes to allow brew pubs like Freetail or Blue Star to self-distribute 1,000 barrels. I want to say kegs, you know, former college student. That's how I know beer. 1,000 barrels, and to sell 1,000 barrels on premise, and to sell to a distributor 10,500 barrels. This is something new. It means that Scott is not just limited to selling his product on premise, but he could actually try to rent some vans and expand his following. And if he really takes off, then, and this is where the innovative beer distributors are, then he can go to a Tim at GLI and get Tim to distribute his product. There are some distributors who don't see the potential gain if they allow an entrepreneur like Scott to build up a following to later become a future client.
Well, Representative Vireal, let me ask you, those caps seem really low. I mean, it doesn't seem like that's going to really unshackle the industry. Is it a baby step towards that?
It's change. I mean, right now it's zero. Scott can't try self-distributing, creating a following at all. And, you know, at some point, if he has a product that really takes off, he could then decide to sell his establishment and become a full-time microbrewery. But most of the innovation is happening at this small scale, at the brew pub level. And so we need to give them, you know, space and an opportunity to develop their products and grow.
So, Scott, of Freetail Brewing, are you excited about this prospect? Does this look like something this would really look good to you?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the package of legislation that Chairman Villarreal has joint authored with Chairman Smith goes beyond just this initial step for the brew pubs, and it's more designed to be comprehensive. And there's a component that allows packaging breweries to sell their beer on site, which creates a really great stepping stone for businesses like mine or somebody who's just starting out in the industry, because we can start as a brew pub, you know, really develop our local market. And as we grow and as our reputation grows, we can then, you know, continue to grow, turn into a packaging brewery, and we could be the next, you know, national brand. And this is the way a lot of the breweries that you might find at HEB that you're really familiar with, this is how they started. Dogfish Head started as a little brewery in a little beach town in Delaware, and now you can find it virtually anywhere across the United States. So I got in this business partly because I'm crazy and I'm a little overconfident, but I think we could be the next great national brand, and I look forward to having the opportunity to be right or to be wrong.
That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening to this live presentation of The Politics of Beer, recorded at the Herman Sons Lodge in downtown San Antonio. Our underwriters, Alamo Golden Ale, a San Antonio independent brewer since 2003, currently in the planning stages for a brewery near the Hayes Street Bridge in the east side of San Antonio. Bicycle Heaven, locally owned bicycling specialty shop located in Castle Hills, serving the San Antonio cycling community since 2001. The Cove, a San Antonio institution with a restaurant, a beer garden, live music venue, laundromat, and car wash, serving sustainable, organic, and local food. Our panel, we have Representative Mike Villarreal, Travis Poling, author of the book Beer Across Texas, and you can find that on Amazon. Scott Metzger, owner of Freetail Brewery, and with the Texas Craft Beers Guild, and Tim Campion, the GLI Distributing. I'm David Martin Davies. You can email your comments about the show to texasmatters@tpr.org. Also comment on our website, tpr.org. You can listen to the podcast on iTunes, and tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.